You're listening to Game Play with Matthew Cause on TSN 1050. We're going all in on the coverage. You can bet on it.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the second hour of Game Play. I am your host, Matthew Cause, and for a lot of people, there's a lot of waiting left. You have 7 hours and 30 minutes between the start of Game 2 of the Battle of Alberta, Edmonton-Calgary. Joining me now to talk all things sports betting, it is Chris Meanies. Joining us the first time on this station, and he's been getting a lot of praise around these parts. Chris, thank you so much for joining the show. And let's do this the opposite way. Instead of doing the promo at the end of the interview, tell people where they can find your work.
Yeah, I do appreciate those kind words. Over at FTN, FTN Network, we have three websites, FTNFantasy.com, FTNBets.com, and FTNDaily.com. And, you know, a show at daily, Monday to Friday on Game Plus Network and stream from our YouTube page, at Chris Meanies, I tweeted out as well. Just a loose, fun, just kind of hitting up all the sports in the world, you know, golf here and there. Some people come on talk esports, which I have no idea what they're talking about, but people seem to enjoy it. So, yeah, we just having a fun little family over at FTN. I appreciate the words off the hop here.
FTN, absolutely. All right, so if you do all sports, then you can rank this on a scale of 1 to 10. My cowardly bet of the week is John Rahm to finish in the top 40 at the PGA Championship. $36 is going to win me $9. Scale of 1 to 10, how cowardly a bet is that?
Not one of my favorite bets, but hey, it doesn't really matter as long as it's a profit, right? At the end, you expect John Rahm here to have a nice showing this week, and I know it hasn't gone as planned for him to start the golf season, but top 40 is very doable. I like it. You walk away with $8 or $9, so it will call it a win.
All right, $9, and actually I think it's like $9.13 is the total I can win here. But right now he's tied for 43, but that's a 35 positional jump from the beginning of the day. I mentioned Calgary-Edmonton. I don't know if you've been looking at where the money's going, but it just kind of feels like everyone, maybe because a long weekend, it's a sunny day here in Toronto, everyone just wants to bet the overs all over the place on every player in this game.
Yeah, I mean, how could you not, right? I'm surprised, actually, we're getting 6.5. I know game one opened up at 6, and, you know, we're seeing some money come in here on the over, but it does seem like the smart play, considering, you know, what we saw in game one. I don't think we're going to see 15 goals. I mean, the fifth most ever in a playoff game is ridiculous, but Calgary's put up a 9 spot in back-to-back games here against the Oilers. I think we can all agree that, you know, Edmonton's kind of going through something with Leon Draisaitl and Darnell Nurse. We got Mike Smith. They're going to go back to Mike Smith. This is the 9th straight start for Smith. I was looking back at his regular season, you know, starts, and only twice, 4 in a row, never 5 in a row. Struggled in the game earlier in the season, late March, when they went into Scotiabank Saddledome as well. I expect a tighter effort here, but the way that the Flames bring it offensively at 5-on-5, I know they didn't have a lot of offense in that first series against Dallas, but they had over 160 more shot attempts than the Stars in that 7-game series, 75 more shots, and that's kind of how things started in game one with, you know, just the Calgary Flames and offensively really, really bringing it. So I do believe that's the play. I could see 7 or 8 goals here, maybe a 4-3 final. I think, you know, there's, if you want to go over 3.5 on the Flames at basically even money, or over 2.5 on the Edmonton Oilers around -135, I think both plays are in play.
And I don't know how you feel about the series, but the one I sort of threw out there, if anyone out there believes Edmonton can win or the series will go long, then you're probably leaning towards Edmonton winning tonight. So I kind of like a combo play of McDavid to score and the Oilers to win at +360.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that. I do believe that the Flames will win this game. I mean, Connor McDavid has been unbelievable. It's crazy to think that he's actually taken his game to another level here in the playoffs. And from a shot attempt standpoint, I mean, he leads the way for the Oilers. I mean, there's no question, right? 8 shot attempts, he had 5 scoring chances, he had 5 shots overall at the 4.9. Nobody's even talking about the 4.9 because the Flames put up 9 goals. I think that Calgary is just, I do believe that the Oilers are a strong team on home ice. I think that they can get back into the series when it shifts to game three in Edmonton. I still kind of give the benefit of the doubt to Calgary. Originally, I guess that's a soft spot for me. I tried not to think for it, and I'm not a Flames fan, but I have Calgary winning the Stanley Cup. That was my bracket. Futures on them just as they made the Tyler Toffoli trade. I really like this team 5-5. I think they're a tough team to play against and really strong at home. You know, the old saying goes that you're still in a series until you lose on home ice. So even if the Oilers go down here 2-0, certainly you'll be able to get a better price. But I do have this series going 7. I still believe it'll go the distance, 6 or 7. I think we'll see a stronger effort here from Edmonton. But I feel like I'll back them on home ice.
What happens if in a playoff series the home team never loses? Does that series actually exist?
Well, it existed, I guess, Carolina and Boston. We got a taste of that with the home teams just winning that and everyone there. But, you know, I think the problem, I guess, what I noticed in game one, of course, the top line is amazing in Calgary with Johnny Hockey and Elias Lindholm and then Matthew Tkachuk. But the second line really checks some boxes for me. Andrew Mangiapane, Blake Coleman, and Mikhail Blacklund, they really were strong in that game. And Mangiapane led the way. I got a little bit of a sneaky prop for you. He's plus 150 to have 3 shots here. He is plus 112 to have a point, and he is plus 280 to have an assist. He had 9 shot attempts, led the way for the Flames in game one. He had 7 shots. He had a team-high 8 scoring chances, 5 high-danger chances, shot attempts in the slot. He had a goal, 2 primary assists. I do expect to see some offense in this game yet again. So that line really did lead the way, actually, in shot attempts at 5-5. They played really strong. Blake Coleman had a couple goals as well. So I'm really looking at that second line tonight.
Yeah, man, I'm just thinking, if this game ends up being 1-0, sportsbooks everywhere are going to be rejoicing. Of course, none of us will be up to see the final result anyways. That game starts at 10:30.
It's 11:30 on my end. I'm all the way out east, so it's been tough.
Where are you joining us from?
I'm outside Halifax area. I was in Toronto for the past few years, but I moved back out east, so I'm in the Halifax area. If you're looking for unders, I think you go to the Carolina and Rangers game, but who wants to bet on the unders?
No one. Actually, the funny thing there is the total's actually gone over in 7 of the last 8 games for the Rangers and 8 of the last 11 for Carolina. I was shocked when I saw that. The over-under is 5.5 goals. My favorite bet there is Zibanejad over 2.5 shots at minus 126, mostly because Rangers are a little more desperate, so, you know, they might just start throwing more pucks at Antti Raanta.
Yeah, I like that call as well. You know, we really started to see Mika Zibanejad kind of flip the switch. I mean, there's a highlight moment in that series in round one against the Penguins when they were in Pittsburgh and he wanted to look at the tablet, and Chris Kreider, his line mate, just took the tablet out of his hands and chucked it behind him. Like, come on, get back to basics, forget the tablet, let's go here. And then Zibanejad went on to get that hat trick. They extended the game 7. Kreider had a big goal and they were rolling. So yeah, I look for the big guns as well to kind of bounce back. You know, I think you're on the right page with McDavid to hit the score sheet, and maybe Evander Kane has a bit of a bounce back performance. He was in the top 3 or 4 in shot attempts and shots in the series, led the series against the Kings in goals. I expect him to give a little bit more offensive firepower. I'm sure the guy's got under his skin in game one, but over to that Rangers side, you look for the big players. You know, that's kind of been the trend here in the postseason. After that loss, a bounce back performance, and from some of those big players that were quiet, kind of with that next game really brought it. So I think Zibanejad's a good one. Andrew Kopp's been a point-per-game player since he was traded over from Winnipeg to New York, playing with Artemi Panarin, and he's been plus money throughout the playoffs for a point as well. Hitting the score sheet playing with Panarin is sometimes you just fall into points when you play with the bread man.
Oh, God, yeah. By the way, shout out to Evander Kane for this quote. If we don't give up 9 goals tonight, I really like our chances. Evander, that's the analysis I'm looking for.
Yeah, that's not a hot take or anything. Yeah, at least they're playing loose. I'm sure, you know, you're going to see the guys tighten up defensively, but I worry about the personnel that they have. I just think that this Flames team is really, really strong.
Yeah. Oh, God, yeah, absolutely they are. Last question for you, and it's not really about betting more, but just big picture, is the Tampa Bay Lightning and what the difference of 10 days makes. They're down 3-2 to the Maple Leafs. They were 22-1 to win the Stanley Cup. Now they've got the second best odds with Carolina at +450. And it seems like it doesn't matter who goes out, who gets injured. In the end, Hedman plays 28 minutes. Vasilevsky stops almost everything. Kucherov does two really cool things, and you look up and the Lightning have won again.
Isn't it unbelievable? It's crazy to me. They played so much hockey over the past couple of seasons. The off seasons were different, shorter than normal, with the bubble and the Stanley Cup playoffs going a little bit later. So back-to-back off seasons that were extremely short. And yesterday, just watching them, it really was unbelievable. You see Eric Chernak leave for a little bit. You see Steven Stamkos look like I thought he broke his hand. He leaves, he comes back. Brendan Hagel leaves for a bit. They still find a way to go into Florida, a team that had the best record on home ice all year, to beat them twice. I think the difference is special teams. It was last year when these two teams played. Bobrovsky a little bit was kind of the issue in Florida. You saw a bit of Spencer Knight. He's been great. It's not on him that they're down 2-0.
Nope.
The Florida Panthers are 0-25 on the power play. They had a top five power play in the league. It's crazy. And Tampa has 4 goals here in the playoffs, in this round rather, an 11 total in 9 games. They are doing it again when really I think a lot of people count them out. Repeat is one thing, but to do it 3 in a row, and maybe we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit, but they stole home ice advantage. They're going to go back home in a building where they won a lot of playoff games, and I think they're flirting with 60 games now where they don't have back-to-back losses. They seem to bounce back every single time. Yeah, they're going to be a tough out again. I'm not counting out the Panthers, but that power play, they're kind of getting in their own way with special teams, taking penalties against the Bolts and then not getting it done on the power play. I noticed a couple mix-ups, a couple switches that they had in game 2 that just didn't seem to work. When they acquired Claude Giroux, they went 5 forwards. Aaron Ekblad wasn't with them when they had Giroux, and then that, I think maybe in round 1, you give him a pass. Okay, it's kind of new. You get Ekblad sprinkled in, and then they got away from Ekblad and went to Claire with the 5 forwards. I think this need to get back to basics. Easy for me to say, but I see a lot of passing. I think they maybe just got to get that dirty, greasy goal, put more pucks on net.
I can't believe the Lightning are going to go back to the Cup Finals. It just feels that way. Chris, really appreciate. Thank you so much for joining us on the show today, and good luck staying up for that Calgary Edmonton game.
Yes, you as well. Thanks a lot, and appreciate it.
Take care. That is Chris Meaney joining us here on TSN 1050, again, part of the FTN network. All right, we got to take a break on the other side of the show. We'll talk a little Blue Jays, the hated Cincinnati Reds, and what has to happen tonight for Dallas to continue to slow down Luka Doncic. That's coming up, but first, traffic. Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I am your host, Matthew Cause. The PGA Championship is going on right now, and the projected cut is +3. Tiger Woods right now is even through 2 holes, but he is +4 after his opening round, 74. He has got some work to do. Colin Morikawa is +2, finished at +4, so it looks like he is going to be out. Same thing with Adam Hadwin, so a shame for him. John Daly still has a chance. He is +3. He's +1 through 7 holes so far, so there's a chance John Daly could make it. As when we go to the top of the leaderboard, as mentioned before, Justin Thomas finishes with a second round 67, which matches his opening round. -3 today, -3 yesterday. Do the math, -6. Rory McIlroy through 2 holes is +1. He went par and bogey on his first 2 holes, so he is now 2 shots back of your leader. And again, your leader is Justin Thomas. We'll try to keep you up to date with everything going on in the world of golf. And this golf report is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Whatever the weather throws your way, you're covered in a new Subaru with uncommon capability and symmetrical full-time all-wheel drive. Let's go back to the NBA for a moment, and let's hear from ESPN analyst Tim Legler talking about how the Warriors can continue to slow down Luka.
Yeah, they did a great job of accomplishing something that Phoenix was never able to in their series, and that is put enough bodies and activity in front of Luka, whether it's just a hard show, hedge, a stunt, or you actually go ahead and commit full body, but also get out to the three-point shooters. And to me, you have to be able to do both against this team because Luka Doncic, if he gets single coverage, he is going to have a monster game and he's going to control the action with his pace, scoring over really anybody that's in front of him. And if you decide to go ahead and throw extra bodies at him, in previous series, he then picks you apart with his vision and his velocity that he puts on the ball to the weak side of the floor. And these guys are just towing up practice shots. That's how they beat Phoenix. Golden State did both.
And I got to tell you, what I do not want tonight, and I love just the work done by Andrew Wiggins recently and how he's trying to embrace it. It's great. But I do not want tomorrow to be the story to be Andrew Wiggins. I'm sorry. I want the story to be basically that Luka Doncic goes nuts, that he is a 45-point game. Chris, I imagine this is the easiest thing to agree on, like just what he did against Phoenix, what he did in the last 2 years in opening series losses, like where he's put up 47 against Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers. That is what I want to see happen here.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of people who, like we know Golden State, they're kind of an unlikable team. They've had so much success. They have so many stars. They're so popular. There's a lot of people out there who don't necessarily root for them or want them to do well. And I think there is a large contingent of people who would love nothing more than for Luka to just go like supernova and somehow win the series for them.
You know, I find interesting, but the idea of Golden State being, is it Golden State's unlikable, or is just people, or is it just Draymond Green?
Yeah, I mean, when they had Durant,
incredibly unlikable.
But I hear you. In terms of their current players, yeah, Steph's pretty likable. Klay's probably somewhere in the middle.
Everyone loves Klay. I think it's Draymond. I also think it's a little bit of Steve Kerr. Like, Steve Kerr went way, like, just when he, his attacks on Dylan Brooks about breaking the code and violence and all of that. I think that probably rubbed a couple people the wrong way.
Yeah, you're probably right with that. I mean, I'm not sure that he was being a hypocrite in my mind, because there's plenty of instances you can see where Draymond Green has injured a player and he didn't run to the podium and being like, well, I'm disappointed in Draymond because he broke the code. So, you know, stay in your lane, Steve Kerr.
Yeah, 100%. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. All right. On the other side of the show, we will stick with the NBA, Daniel Nugent. Oh, no, not the NBA, sorry. We're going to do the exact opposite. We're going to go back to Edmonton, Calgary. Daniel Nugent Bowman, who covers the Edmonton Oilers for The Athletic, will join the show. And we'll ask, what sort of leash does Mike Smith have in tonight's game? That is coming up next. But first, time now for News Talk 1010 Traffic Update. Now, let me just say this on the front end. I know it seems like us in the media business, we can be a bunch of negative Nellies, and we complain about everything. And it's often just silly things like the media room, is there free popcorn, all that kind of stuff. And when I complain about the fact that the Edmonton-Calgary game, which everyone's going to want to watch, doesn't start till 10:45. Like, I'm complaining because I don't know how I'm going to stay up for that whole game. So, yes, there is some selfishness. But also, just in terms of this is the game, you know, you want to expose young fans to. This is the game to the casuals who might become the hardcores. It's going to start at like 10:45. My Lord. Join me now. I don't even know if my next guest will be able to stay up for it, even though it's his job. He covers the Edmonton Oilers for The Athletic, which, by the way, to everyone out there, I've said it 1,000 times, go and subscribe to The Athletic. You're not going to get better content for in terms of value for how much you get for your dollar. It is Daniel Nugent Bowman. Daniel, really appreciate it. Thanks so much for jumping on the show today.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, I caught your intro there. I passed out at 9:30 last night, so I'm not sure how I'm going to pay for this one. It'll be just you know, need those toothpicks to keep the eyelids open or something like that, regardless of how good the game is tonight.
Do we know why it's starting this late? I'm just going to give the obvious answer, some sort of TV deal with sponsors and money.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually the way it works. From what I was told, it's a kind of an ESPN decision. I don't want to say that unequivocally, but You know, they're starting their Eastern game late too, you know, on a Friday night at 8 o'clock, Carolina versus the Rangers. But like, to me, I sort of get like you want one game to bleed into the other, but you're really wrecking, you know, the television audience for both sides. I mean, you mentioned in the East, 10:45. Well, there's not too many people that are going to even stay up to watch the start of that game, let alone the end. But here in Alberta, yeah. I mean, you got 5, 6, 7, 8-year-olds that are excited for this matchup, and they're not going to even be up to see the puck drop, let alone the end of the game. You're just completely ruining what's a tremendous series, something that's been, you know, people have been waiting for 31 years. And as I just tweeted out, I mean, you got Connor McDavid in the second round for the second time in his career. And who the heck's watching this game? It just makes no sense to me. Like, you know, I'd rather, you know, have people having to choose between the third period of the Rangers Hurricanes game and the start of this game and at least get more people engaged. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
And beyond that, I'm just going to say it, okay? No one cares about New York and Carolina. Like, unless you got money on it, you're in some sort of fantasy pool, or you live in the general area. For the rest of us, for everyone, every other hockey fan without a dog in the race, everyone wants to see Edmonton, Calgary. No one wants to see the Rangers in Carolina.
Yeah, and I mean, I focused on the Oilers here and Connor McDavid, but I mean, the Calgary Flames have been a tremendous team all year, and you have the one of, you know, Matthew Tkachuk and Johnny Gaudreau who cracked 100 points. So I mean, these are, you know, it's not like one good team and one not, or one star against a bunch of schlubs. Like, these are two very good teams. Although, I mean, if you watch the Oilers playing good in game one, you might not think along those lines, but certainly a huge rivalry that the league has tried to promote by having the playoff format the way it is. And again, to have this game start at the time that it does makes zero sense to me. At least game three, you know, it's a 6 o'clock local start, 8 in the East. That helps, but it you know, tonight, game two, a very important game, it makes no sense.
Yeah, 100%. I listen, I care more about the Tkachuk family in the crowd than I do about Sebastian Aho. I'm sorry, that's just the way it is. Anyway, okay, so let's talk about, by the way, God, I hope Matthew Tkachuk scores just for that alone. Daniel Nushbaum covers the Oilers for The Athletic. What sort of leash does Mike Smith have tonight?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I would say if the start is anything like the last one, he'll be out of the game. But, you know, this is a guy that has had a very tough season, as people out east probably know. And a lot of that's been because of injury. I mean, he missed basically the entire first half of the season. Then he struggled a little bit coming back. But he really turned a corner toward the end of March and even into early April. I mean, he was the NHL's second star of the month for April. 951 save percentage with two shutouts in that month. And then other than his game one puck handling gaffe, which I'm sure everyone saw against the Los Angeles Kings, of course, he was very good in that series, 938, two shutouts. Certainly a fairly big reason why they won that game. And, you know, earlier in the playoffs, head coach Jay Woodcroft was being a little bit more coy with how he would go run his goaltenders and if Mike Smith was going to start game two even after that gaffe. Unequivocally, you know, threw his sports behind Mike Smith yesterday. You said that he and the team believed in him. I think he'll, you know, he'll get some runway. Of course, you know, if it's 3 goals against in 9 shots, like it was in game one, I think he'll be out, but you know, I think they're going to give him, you know, the opportunity to, you know, to rebound after that tough game the other night.
If you are an Edmonton fan searching for optimism, is it as simple as the fact that they put 6 goals all even strength against Markstrom?
I think so, but to me, you know, that was a real missed opportunity for them because I don't think Jacob Markstrom's going to play that badly again. I mean, the quality of chances that Edmonton had against Calgary in that game were not very good. I mean, there were two or three really lousy goals that Markstrom allowed. So I don't think they're going to kind of be able to pump 6 past him again. And so, again, I think it was just a real missed opportunity. Same with the last time these two teams faced off here March 26th, where they got bypassed Markstrom and lost that game, you know, with not allowing nine against as well. The one, I guess, good thing for the Oilers, or room to grow, is their power play was absolutely atrocious in game one. And that's a real important factor for this team. Third in the regular season, first the last 2 years before that. You know, this team really dines off the power play, and they were 0 for 4 and really got nothing going. So if they can get that power play going, that could help certainly spark the offense. But there's no question, when you allow 9 goals the last 2 games against this team, it starts in the defensive end, and that's where the Oilers are hoping to make some significant improvements there.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
Captain obvious, of course.
Yeah. Listen, it happens this time of year. We all do it. Right now, what is the health status? Darnell Nurse and Leon Draisaitl.
Not great. I mean, certainly on Leon Draisaitl's point of view, he has not skated, you know, in a practice or morning skate since sustaining that injury in game 6 against the Los Angeles Kings in the first period there. It's clearly he's trying to get through this we believe a right ankle injury, certainly, you know, leg at the very worst on the right side. I mean, we all know how important Leon Draisaitl is for this team. And what's really troubling is, save for a handful of shifts here or there, he has not been able to center a line. And that's really kind of limited the Oilers' depth and, you know, especially a team like Calgary that has 3 solid scoring lines. It really hampers what the Oilers can do. You know, you might be able to get through the Los Angeles Kings that are not as experienced, a little slower, you know, maybe not as much depth, but Calgary is a different animal. And it's clear he's going to keep playing the wing. He didn't skate again this morning, but a placeholder, Devin Shore, took his spot beside Connor McDavid and Vander Kane. We think Leon Draisaitl will take that spot, obviously, with those two guys. And so, yeah, not having it center really hurts his team, and we don't think he'll be able to do much of that. Darnell Nurse sustained a lower body injury 4 games to go, or missed the last 4 games, I should say, in the regular season. And just, you know, it's clear the hallmarks of his game are his skating and his physical play, and we haven't seen nearly as much of that from him in this series, or at least in game one, and a little bit in the Kings series as well. So his minutes are way down. He didn't, you know, he played, it was either the eighth or the ninth most of any Oiler, in game one. And he's a guy that was 12th in the league in average ice time at over 25 minutes during the regular season. So when you take your number one defenseman and kind of limit, or he is limited by what he can do, not only that, but you're clearly your second best forward. The Oilers are really up against it, I think, in this series.
Do they have the capability? Because as you mentioned, you know, Mike Smith has had some great moments against the Kings. Now, Calgary is obviously a much better team offensively than LA is. But the everyone in front of him, and I'll include Connor McDavid in this, who's been incredible, you know, who's been a machine. Like, just every – he's so good, he puts up 3 points and we get bored by it. I mean, that's how good he is. But does this team have the ability to – you know, not allow 27 slot shots? Like, does this team have the ability to actually become defensively responsible against this specific Calgary team?
I mean, they do. We saw in the March, I think it was 7th or 9th game, the one before the big drubbing here in the regular season, you know, they played pretty well defensively. They're not too bad at 5-on-5 either. They might have had the upper hand against the Flames at 5-on-5, just their special teams were not good, you know, at either the power play or the penalty kill that night. Certainly it'll take a lot more than what the Oilers offered in game one. You know, they want to be stronger along the net, you know, in front of the net and not allowing nearly as many chances off the rush. Like, they need to do a better job, you know, having the forwards come back through the neutral zone and kind of help the defense in that regard. But yeah, it's a complete, you know, team effort in that regard. I mean, obviously the goaltending, as we talked about, wasn't good in either of those two games, the regular season one or game one. So do they have the ability to do it? Yeah, I think they do. It's just going to be very challenging, again, when you have Draisaitl and Nurse that are banged up. And clearly Calgary has more depth around the lineup and, you know, pretty much every position compared to the Oilers. So they can do it, but it'll be a challenge and certainly one that they're going to have to take on in order to even the series here.
Speaking of challenges, what is your What is your process tonight? Will you be able to stay awake for the game? I don't even know. Maybe you're in Calgary. I'm not sure. Or is this a PVR, do it the next Monday? Like, what, Daniel, is your approach to tonight?
Yeah, no, I'm in Calgary, so it'd be not the greatest look for me if I fell asleep in the press box. So,
yes,
I think I'll be able to stay awake. I'm confident. I tried to get a half decent sleep last night. I'm not a coffee drinker, so that works to my disadvantage, I think. But I might have to kind of find a alternative solution there. But when the games are, if the horn's going to keep going off nine times, or fans cheering for nine goals, I think I'll be able to stay awake. So if the Flames continue to pump as many goals as they have on the Oilers, I'm sure I will. But I think even in all seriousness, Evander Kane said, I like our chances if we don't give up nine goals. I don't think they're going to do that again tonight. I'll try to be bold and say that it won't happen for a third straight game. But, there's enough going on here at the rink and with this rivalry that I'm confident that the Islanders will stay open.
I love that quote by Evander Kane. I was giggling at it the whole time. It is a bold, hot take. You know what would be hilarious if Edmonton loses then like 11-10 tonight. Well, Kane, you're wrong. But anyway, hopefully that doesn't happen, because if there's 21 goals scored in the game, you'll be there till 4 in the morning. Daniel, really appreciate. Follow him on Twitter at DMB Sports. Read his work with The Athletic covering the Oilers. All the best. Good luck. And feel free to tweet out photos of sports media writers who have fallen asleep in the third period.
I'll keep my eyes open for it. Thanks a lot for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Take care. That is Daniel Nugent-Bowman, who covers the Oilers for The Athletic. We got to take a break. On the other side, sound of the day. It has nothing to do with sports, but I promise it will entertain you. But first, traffic.
This is Gameplay on TSN 1050.
This is found money. I want to parlay it. I want to make a big score.
We're going all in on the coverage. You can bet on it.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Gameplay. I'm your host, Matthew Cause. Now, normally we would play some Tragically Hip or something with the long weekend coming, people going up north, the cottages or wherever. But because I am headed to Germany tomorrow morning, I'll be gone for 2 weeks. Producer Chris has decided to play incredibly aggressive German music. I was thinking you were going to do, maybe because I'm going to be in Austria as well, maybe the Von Trapp family, maybe a little, a little Sound of Music.
You know what? I'm not overly familiar with that one. I like a lot of metal. That's kind of my background when it comes to music. And
yeah,
when I think of German metal, there's no one else I think of other than Rammstein.
No, Rammstein is absolutely your one-stop shop for all incredibly aggressive German music. I wonder, Chris, before we do Sound of the Day, I wonder how different things are going to be. Like, when I get back, the NBA finals will be starting, or it might be game one, and we'll be down the third round of the NHL playoffs will be winding down as well. I wonder where we'll be in the world of sports.
All I'm saying is there better not be another pandemic.
I know. Well, listen, I did it last time.
That's why I know.
I was in Omicron hit South Africa right when I was there, and of course now that's been debunked that it actually started there. But yes, I was in Cape Town and Stellenbosch when Omicron first became a thing. Here's hoping I'm not part of an even worse variant in Germany. All right, we do this at the end of each and every show. It's time now for Sound of the Day.
Sound of the Day, Sound of the Day. Here comes the Sound of the Day.
And this is for everyone driving right now on the 401, the 400, Highway 11. If you're in bad traffic and you need a laugh, well, back in 2015, it was the final ever episode of the David Letterman Show, Late Night with David Letterman. He retired after 33 years. And here was the top 10 done by a lot of very famous people that have been on Letterman's show quite a bit.
Top 10 things I've always wanted to say to Dave. Number 10, Alec Baldwin.
Of all the talk shows, yours is most geographically convenient to my home.
Number 8, Steve Martin.
Your extensive plastic surgery was a necessity. And a mistake.
Number 7, Jerry Seinfeld.
Dave, I have no idea what I'll do when you go off the air. You know, I just thought of something. I'll be fine.
Number six, Jim Carrey.
Honestly, Dave, I've always found you to be a bit of an overactor.
Number five, Chris Rock.
I'm just glad your show is being given to another white guy.
Number four, Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Thanks for letting me take part in another hugely disappointing series finale.
Number three, Peyton Manning.
Dave, you are to comedy what I am to comedy.
Number two, Tina Fey.
Thanks for finally proving men can be funny.
Number one, Bill Murray.
Dave, I'll never have the money I owe you.
Oh, no.
Great job by you, Chris. Thanks so much for helping to put that together. I'm going to miss you. I'm going to miss everyone. I will still be following sports even when I'm deep in German wine country. So, Chris, all the best. Don't miss me too much.
I already miss you, and you're not even gone. Don't go. Don't go getting no monkeypox or whatever that's called.
Okay, stop it. That's the exact thing that's going to happen. I will be safe. I'm not going to be in any major cities except for a couple. All right, that's it for me. Overdrive is coming up next. Brad Faxon, Dave Poulin, Jamal McClure, Pierre LeBrun, Bobby Marks. Man, for Mail It In Friday on a long weekend, they are packed. Overdrive is coming up next. But now, time for traffic.